We've talked about the tzaras that can afflict people. We talked about people's skin, and we talked about the covered area, which would be like the head, the area of the beard. And the parsha then turns to, as I mentioned yesterday, the Chesterfield, the leather couches, the bedspreads, and then we talk about clothing. As the Rambam says in the end of Perek Tezayin, the end of the laws of Tazria of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, the Rambam says that the name Tzaras is a Shem Yeshutef. It's a general concept, a general name that doesn't necessarily mean one condition, right? It doesn't only refer to a whitening of skin, but it could refer to a reddening or some kind of green color that appears on clothing and even on stone. Even in the home, which we're actually not talking about today. We're going to talk about the white garments of wool and linen that can become afflicted with tzaras. So when you see garments like that, you have to bring them to the Kohen. This is not to be confused with mildew, chas v'shalom. This is not some kind of ancient ignorance about the nature of mold and thinking that it has spiritual impurity. Heaven forfend, Rashbam, the famous grandson of Rashi, in his commentary in the beginning of the laws of tzaras, in the very beginning of chapter 13, says to us that when it comes to the ideas of tzaras, when it comes to the ideas of this malady or this strange supernatural phenomenon, we should not make the mistake of thinking that this has something to do with the natural sciences or contagion or bacteria. No, it is what it is. He says you cannot depart from the literal meaning of the verses as the tradition was received by our sages. So what do you do if all of a sudden your clothing shows up with this strange kind of discoloration? The answer is you launder it, literally. And if you launder, and then you have to see. There's a quarantine period, just as there is with a person. So the person is seen, and then the Kohen has to diagnose and place in quarantine and see what happens, sometimes after a week, sometimes after 2 weeks, depending on what kind of tzaras it is, if it's on healthy skin or it's on skin that there was a boil or a burn. So it is also with this clothing. And that's how the fourth reading begins today, which is the very end of Parshas Hazir. The fourth reading, of course, conjoins Parshas Tazria to Parshas Metzora. Chapter 13, verse 55, V'ro ha-koyein acharei hukabes eshanega, the Kohen sees after this lesion has been laundered. V'hine le'hofach hanega es'enoi, this lesion has not changed its color. But it has not, at the same time, expanded. It didn't get any bigger. What do we do then? Well, it didn't change its color. That's just as bad as it would have expanded, because once it's laundered, it should have been, at very least, if not gone, it should have been lighter. It should have been less intense. So in that case, tomehu, it's ritually impure. Be'esh tisufenu, it has to be burnt in fire. Pachesesu, bekarachtei or begabachtei, it is a deep lesion. It is a deep lesion in its new or old. This can afflict both new cloth or new clothing as well as old clothing. That's basically what verse 55 says. And what is the meaning of pachesesu? Pachesesu, the Daz Zekenim and Balei HaTesva say that pachesesu is peiches v'heilich. It's like the expression that comes, it's diminishing. It's not a diminishing scale. This is going down. Nothing good is going to happen from this. No amount of tearing out patches or replacing them or laundering is going to make a difference. But what happens, however, verse 56, Vimro ha-koyein, if the koyein sees, behinei chei ha-hanega, the color of the lesion has now become lighter, acharei huka be-seisoi, after it's been laundered. So essentially, the fellow brings his linen or wool clothing to the Kohen. The Kohen takes a careful look. The Kohen sees that it's become lighter. So what does he do? Oh, so now he has to take affirmative action. He's got to try to save the garment. V'kora oisoi min ha-beged. So he tears a strip of cloth out of the clothing. Oi min ha-or, or this could also affect leather clothing. So it could be wool and linen or leather clothing. Oi min ha-shi, oi min ha-erev, or from what they call the wrap warp or the woof, which is the two different directions of the loom. So the loom goes, of course, horizontally and vertically, and that's how we put the horizontal and the vertical together, and then at some point you give it a, it gets tight, and that's how cloth is formed. So whether the discoloration comes in the threads that are in the what they call the warp or the woof, which is the horizontal or the vertical, in any one of those cases, that would already be the same kind of situation, and that's what you got to do. Okay, so the difference in verse 55 and verse 56 is in verse 55, the color did not change. It did not get any lighter. And because it didn't get any lighter, the Kohen says the laundering didn't help. If the laundering didn't help, you cleaned it and it didn't help, then what do we know? This is tzaras. This is not dirt. This is not mildew. This is not bacteria, because putting something in the washing machine would make a difference. If it was some kind of natural contagion, if it was a natural discoloration, the fact that laundering did not make a difference, even if it doesn't get deeper, even if it doesn't get bigger, even if it doesn't spread, the fact that it didn't get any lighter, that is in and of itself the sign that this is in fact a pernicious, a deep lesion, a tzaras. But if keha, but if it does get lighter, so it's not as intense, if it gets lighter, then in that case, you have to rip out that area. So you take, there's a small patch, could be very small, size of a grease is tiny. You tear out that little part, very, very skillfully patch it, you could save the garment. This could be either from the cloth or from the leather garment. Now, this idea, bekarachta ibegabachtai, so you know, it's interesting that this language showed up yesterday. Only this language that showed up yesterday was about the baldness, the unnatural baldness. So if you remember, the gabachas is the person who goes bald, posterior balding. That's the front balding on the side of the head. The karachas is the person who goes bald on the back of his head. And here the same language shows up. And this is very interesting. When it comes to tzaras, we have this constant, like similar language, kindred language, kindred ideas and ideals, but like on the surface, they look very different. The balding has nothing to do with the garment. And the color white of the skin seemingly has nothing to do with the green or the red, which is the discoloration of the clothes. But nonetheless, there's kind of like language that links it. So Ibsaji Goen says that karachas is the back of the garment, much like the back balding. And he says gabachas is the front of the garment. And he seems to say that at least once upon a time, people would invest more effort in the front of the garment than they would the back of the garment. So the front of the garment was how you presented yourself. That's where there was the brocade. That's where there was the design. That's where there was maybe the color on color or the any kind of fancier embroidery or more sophisticated weave that was always in the front. The back was always simpler. Like in today's day and age, you know, the front of a suit is where the tailoring is. The back is just the back. But once upon a time, the difference was in the weave itself. So he says that therefore you would say there's a difference of karachas and gabachas. Rashi does not follow that approach. Rashi says karachte gabachte is we follow the targum. What does the targum say about karachas and gabachas? He says bishchikusei oy bechadesusei, which means an old article of clothing or a new article of clothing. Karachta, he says, means shchokim, clothing that is well worn. So the weave is loose. It's a soft, the weave, the garment, the cloth is soft. And gabachas would be the opposite. Mipnei ha-midrash, as the way it's expounded, shehutzrach l'gzeira shava minayin l'prichas begodim. How do we know that if the stain expands or becomes larger in clothing, that could become pure, which would mean that it spreads everywhere, the entire garment's color changes. So it says nemra karachas vigabachas be'odam. It says the same verbiage by a person, and then nemra karachas vigabachas be'vigodim. It uses the same language with regard to clothes. But karachas and gabachas with regard to a person is a form of male balding. And this is a form of clothing, or a form of describing, according to Rashi, following Unklus, the density of the weave, whether the weave has been loosened through age and use or not. So he says, ma'ala halon, just as over there when it comes to the negoyim of a person, porach bekulei, if the discoloration spread entirely, means the person is all white. He has turned into an eggshell-looking person. So in that case, tar, he becomes pure. Afkan, paruch bekuli, if the entire garment is suddenly turned a green or a red, then tar, then it's considered to be ritually pure. When is it ritually impure? When it splotches. Splotches are a problem. Markings are a problem. Stains are a problem. Entire recoloration is not a problem. Lachach achaz akos of loshen karachas v'gabachas. That is why the Torah uses the terminology of karachas and gabachas, but according to Reb Sadia Gaon in his interpretation, which incidentally the Ibn Ezra praises and he's very impressed with it, it would have to do with posterior and exterior, front and back. And that would be a difference of the kind of weed they used to use at one time. At any rate, this is the Torah's instructions with regard to the clothing. And here, it's very interesting. So verse 57 now. Ve'im teirah oid ba'beged. So what happens if the clothing shows up with a strange discoloration? You're a yid, you know a little about Torah, at least you know when to ask a shayla. That's what they used to say. You say, if I go to the classes, do I become a rabbi? He says, no, you become a yid. So what does that mean? So I know when to ask a shayla. Ignorant people don't even know when there is a question. At least you should know when there's a question. A lot of times, much of the learning that's done is at least you should know if there's an issue. So here's a Jew who's initiating, and sees this green or this reddish discoloration. He says, I have a shayla. I have a questioner. I better go to the Kohen, who's an expert, who's trained. The Kohen takes a look, launders, says, go home, launder it, show it to me afterwards, shows it to him. It's become just a little bit lighter. He says, look, we have to tear out this little portion of the garment, bring it to a tailor. We're going to replace, patch up the clothing. We can save this article of clothing. It's an expensive shirt, jacket, tunic, dress, whatever it may be. And then he goes into quarantine. But then if suddenly it shows up again, whether it's in the same spot that was replaced or a different spot, in the wrap of the woof, or anywhere on that leather artifact, oh, in that case, now it's a perachas, now it's spreading, burn it in fire. That which has this lesion must be burnt in fire. So here we have a problem, and this problem cannot be simply ignored. Now the Medrash Lekachtev says that you would be obligated to tear off that little patch that you made if it didn't become discolored. So the little patch is really a foreign substance. It's not part of the actual garment. So you remove it from the actual garment, and the garment will be burnt, but the patch could be saved. V'habeged, oyahashsi, oyahediv. And this garment, what if it was in the patch? So then the patch is removed, and the patch is burnt. And then the garment, or the shasi, or the ediv, or is kolkli, or eresh etechubas, which has to be washed. V'sor mehem anega. Then the lesion is gone. The chubas shenis, it's rinsed a second time, the tohir. Now it's rinsed a second time, and it is pure. So Rashi says, if we have a situation where the lesion has been removed, sor mehema nega, the nega is gone, what do we do in that kind of case? It says Rashi in verse 58. Here the Torah is emphasizing that im kishe kibsuhu betchila al pi koyin. If when it was laundered the first time, so we're going back, it's not a continuation of the verse that speaks about burning the garment. But if we're going back, as we mentioned initially, that after it was washed or laundered, the discoloration disappeared, and now there's no more discoloration. So in that case, v'chubas sheinis, then it has to be rinsed a second time. Rashi says, v'chubas sheinis, this is loshen tvila. The second rinsing does not refer to the laundromat. It refers to the ritualarium. That's the mikveh. It has to be immersed in a mikveh, in a special ritual pool, which is designed not to clean physically, but to bring about spiritual cleansing. Now, the targum of kibusin, shebeparshazu, loshen libun. The language that speaks of rinsing, initially, the Targum uses the word of whitening. Whitening is cleaning. The Targum says the word v'yischavar. V'yischavar is like Aramaic for white. Chivra is white in Aramaic. So every time the Torah speaks about rinsing or laundering, it says it uses the word v'yischavar. However, says Rashi, chutz mizeh, except for verse 58. Here, when it says the word rinsing, when it says the word laundering, It uses a word she'eini libun. This is not rinsing, laundering, cleaning. Elo l'tvila. This refers to immersion. Lakach targume. Therefore, the targum is v'yitzdaba. V'yitzdaba is Aramaic for immersing or dipping. V'chein kol kibusei begodim she'ein l'tvila. Not in the Parsha of Tzarat, but elsewhere, when we have a situation where clothing becomes ritually impure, the Targum always uses the language when it says v'chubas, when it says v'chibas es begodav, he has to rinse his clothing, which there means, it's talking about not physical filth or dirt, but rather it means to immerse in the mikveh. Over there, misturgamon v'yitztaba. It always uses the terminology of immersion, dipping. So, we have two possibilities here. We have a situation where the color, the garment is discolored. It has to be physically laundered because we have to see if this is dirt, contagium, bacteria, mildew, or this is tzaras. This is a spiritual issue. After we rinse it, if it becomes lighter, then we know this probably is dirt. Let's take a look and see. Does it remain in its color? Does it grow? Does it get any bigger? If it doesn't, okay, you're good. Good to go. But then we have this issue of what if it does become lighter, and it does, the stain does disappear. On that case, you have to launder it a second time. Here we say this is not talking about physical laundering. Now you get to, you need to get not to the laundromat, not to the washing machine. Here you need to get to the mikveh. And Rashi proves it. He proves it because Unkelus, who is extremely meticulous in the words that he chooses one word for huchabes when he refers to laundering, and that is the terminology of whitening. Libun, yischavar, and another word when it comes to immersion elsewhere in the Torah, when it talks about immersing clothes, it uses the words v'yitztaba, and Rashi says here in verse 58, it uses the word v'yitztaba as well. V'yede min hoin mechtesha, v'yitztaba tinyonus v'yidke. So since it says v'yitztaba, we know it means the concept of immersion. You got that? That's what the pasuk says. Okay. So now we're going to take a look. The Rebbe analyzes this business of the secondary washing, the rinse cycle, that the first seems to be a laundering thing, and the second seems to be talking about an immersion in a mikveh. Okay, the verse is analysis of verse 58. It's found on page Kuf Tzadik Beis, page 192. Simen Yudala, this is the final entry in the Biurei HaChumash on Parshas Tetzave. So the Rebbe asks, why does Rashi have to follow Unkelus's interpretation? That the word rinse or launder here is referring to tevila. Here refers to the concept of immersion. Different from all the other words which are used elsewhere in this very parsha. This seems to be a contradiction of the literal meaning of the word. Why? Well, first of all, because the word v'chubas in Hebrew is the same exact word. So the Unkelus may interpret it differently. Okay, Unkelus doesn't go pshut l'shon mikra always. Rashi often disagrees with Unkelus. But it's even more than that. It's not only that the same Hebrew is used, it says v'chubas shenis, rinse a second time. So when I tell you rinse once and rinse twice, what do you naturally think? What does the second rinse mean? It's a repetition. Whatever I did the first time, I'm going to be doing a second time. Huchabas shenis. The Hebrew word shenis, a second time, means it's a repetition. I'm replicating what I did the first time. Interestingly enough, the Ibn Ezra says, mitzvah l'chabsei pa'mayim. Ibn Ezra takes it literally. He says it's a mitzvah to launder it twice. You laundered it. The stain is lightened or gone. Great. Launder it again. And then move on. Why do I have to launder if it's already clean? Okay, because that is hakosof. None of this necessarily is exactly rhyme and reason. It doesn't make perfect sense. That's what the Torah wants you to do. Launder it a second time, call it insurance, and then you move on. So the fact that Unkelus chooses, there's no question that Unkelus interprets the second rinse as a mikveh rinse, not a laundering rinse. Understood. But Rashi is not always bound to Unkelus. Especially when the words of Unkelus do not seem to fit with Pshut Lashon Mikra, with the literal interpretation. And here, when it says V'chubas Shenis, Shenis, emphasis on the word second time, second rinse, means it's like the first. So when your dishwasher Oh, and your washing machine says, you know, rinse cycle one, rinse cycle two. What do you naturally assume? It's going through the same motions. It rinsed once, now it's rinsing twice. So the Rebbe says, v'yishleim ha'shehi anisenes. That the source of your question is actually the point of contention. That is the source of the answer too. That's what forces Rashi's hand to interpret the second v'chubas as not as laundering but as immersion or mikveh. Why is that? So the Rebbe says, here's the explanation. Shnei mashma Yusuf shal habitui kibus. The two possible meanings of launder. In the Torah, when it says the word launder, we know it can mean two possible things. It could be launder or mikveh. Laundromat or mikveh. It sometimes shows up one way, sometimes the other way. They are nivdale zumizu, rak ba'efen bitzu ha'pula. They're not only different actions. One is when you work at something very hard. So once upon a time, when people used to wash by hand, they would take the cloth and they would put it in the water and they would rub it together very hard and they would beat it against a rock. And they would do all kinds of things to loosen the dirt to get the dirt out, which your washing machine does quite effectively today. Sometimes your washing machine, it gets a little excited and the whole house is shaking, right? Because it's working hard on shaking up the material so that the dirt is loosened and actually expelled. So not only is it something that's done differently, whereas mikveh is a very placid kind of experience, just you put it in, take it out. You don't rub, you're not trying to get any dirt off. So not only is it a different action that's taken, but also the purpose is different. The reason that you launder is in order for the removal of a stain. You're trying to get rid of dirt. But when you put something in the mikveh, you're not trying to get rid of the dirt. Sometimes the mikveh is not so clean. What are you trying to get rid of? Ritual impurity. Very different. So im nefarish, if we are to say that both of these launderings are referring to lashon libun, are referring to whitening. In other words, that we have a need for us to clean the garment twice. So what happens then? Mashmos hadavar tia, the intimation would be, she'ein b'kibus harishin kedei lahasir es hanega min habeged. It would intimate that you didn't manage to get the dirt out the first time, and therefore, hasaras hanega mizbatzas, the removal of the stain will only be effective and accomplished b'kibus sheni. And that's why actually there's a second rinse cycle. Why do we rinse again? Because the dirt isn't gone the first time. You put in your dishes dirty, it has to go through a number of rinse cycles. Only then is the dirt fully removed. Your washing machine goes through a number of cycles because only then is the dirt properly removed. If we say that the first laundering is laundering, to get the dirt out. Vahasheni, the second, is immersion. So then it seems that the kibus harishon, the first laundering, is to get the dirt out. The second laundering is not to launder. It's not to clean. It's to remove the impurity. So here then is the point. If shnei akibusin alashon libun, if both rinses mean the exact same thing, in other words, that the first rinse didn't accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish, it didn't get the dirt out, and the only time you get the dirt out is the second time. So in that case, it says v'chubas shenis. We're rinsing it a second time. But why are we rinsing it a second time? In the Torah itself, it says that this is talking about something. Habeged yashia ha'edev. We're talking about the garment, the warp, the woof, or the leather. It's which asher techubas v'sor behem anega. The lesion is gone. It doesn't just say it was light and the lesion is gone. And then it says v'chubas shenis. And then you rinse it a second time. But if the lesion is gone, why am I rinsing? Why am I laundering it a second time? The only reason I have a second rinse cycle is because it isn't gone, but the Torah just says it is gone. And then it says, go and rinse it a second time. So the very fact that it says, go and rinse it a second time, means there has to be something different about this laundering. What could be different about this laundering? Clearly here, we're dealing with the concept of ritual impurity. And this is how it worked with regards to the beged. That everything you do has to be effective and we have to accomplish something. There isn't just things, but you go through the motions that don't make any sense. In as much as we may not understand the concept of tzaras, and there's a notion of ritual impurity, there's first of all removing the physical stain, which is to see, is this in fact tzaras or not? And even if it gets removed, and even if it's gone, the very fact that it was suspected of tzaras means that it was in a state of ritual impurity, or possible ritual impurity. In order for it to regain its proper purity, immersion in mikveh will be required. And this is derived from the second rinse. And so, mikvehs have nothing to do with the concept of physical cleanliness. People have often said that the Jewish people, we wash our hands, we're so clean. The reason we have the laws of mikveh, the laws of hand washing, is for cleanliness and hygiene. It's just not true. It's not true. In fact, if your hands are dirty, you're supposed to wash them first, and only afterwards perform a ritual wash. If you're dirty, first take your shower, then we go to the mikveh only afterwards, for its purpose is wholly different. And for a yid, both are true. We have to be physically clean, we have to be hygienic, and we also have to be in a state of ritual purity. We'll conclude with the hope and the prayer that Hashem will not only cleanse his people, but purify them, as it says, Ma mikveh metayres hatmeim, just as a mikveh purifies those who are ritually impure, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayres Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should purify us and bring us home to Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach ben Heira, who will be Amenu. Amen.